The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Belly up to the talk bar at KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KPXG Grants Pass. This is the Bill Myers Show. You've been on hold, maybe waiting for a while. What's on your mind? Just give me your overall take, feelings on the election or something else on your mind. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hi, this is Race Bannon.
Hey, Brace, how you doing?
Good. I had a couple thoughts about last night.
Yeah.
Whereas Harris was a pretty very inconsequential VP, she didn't do anything that anybody can tell. What Trump needs to do as one of his priorities, he needs to give Vance a very consequential and substantial, at least one or multiple tasks to show to the American population that he's a very worthwhile and good person to take over when Trump leaves in 4 years.
That is a very astute observation, and you're very wise to say that. I would be willing to bet you President Trump will do that, because J.D. Vance is not a wallflower either. I mean, you know that. He's going to be out in this. And President Trump, let's be honest, President Trump's a lame duck the moment he is inaugurated next year. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. The other thought I had was with respect to all the talk about bringing down inflation, which a large part of that has to go with oil prices and such. I don't know if anybody's heard, but they are shutting down an oil refinery in California and another one in the Gulf states. I think it's Louisiana. Well, with him getting rid of regulations, he needs to really pound down on the regulations for oil refineries, because we need to get more oil refineries online to bring down gas prices.
And as it is right now, the oil industry doesn't see the value in putting investment capital, precious investment capital, very expensive these days, into refineries if they're just going to be shut down by the next Democratic. If they're going to be shut down by the next Democrat administration, right?
I mean, exactly. But a large part of that is regulations.
Yep. Thanks, Race. Good call. All right. 770-5633. Hello, line 3. Who's this? Good morning.
And good morning. This is Tracy from Washington State.
Tracy, good to have you on.
Here, yeah, unfortunately, up here, the ballot measures didn't go quite as nicely. We were not able to get rid of cap and trade and
really?
High capital gains tax they have here.
By the way, did Joe Kent make it or not? Did Joe Kent make it in the House race?
I didn't follow that's the one up in Vancouver.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's too close to call right now.
So. All right.
We did save natural gas for the homes. That's eking it out. There have been all sorts of attempts to kill natural gas in the homes. By the way, I just visited the BP refinery here at Cherry Point, Bellingham, here the other day. Yep. And, you know, it's not just oil and gas and diesel fuel. Those refineries also produce coke, which is that heavy carbon that you add steel and aluminum to make it more resilient.
You know, I didn't realize that because I remember I grew up in coal country, you know, in the Pittsburgh area. We always had, what do they call that? Not medicinal coal, but there's a special type of high quality coal that we'd use to make coke for the steel mills. And so they can make that in that refinery up there out of what, natural gas? Do it that way?
Well, no, it's in the distillation process, at the higher, the lighter chemicals, the lighter carbon chains go to the top of the distillation tower, and the heavier stuff goes to the bottom, and they do a multiple recycling process. Well, at the end, you have this big black heavy powder at the bottom of these towers, and that goes into steel. Unfortunately,
no kidding,
all that stuff gets shipped overseas because we've shut down the smelters here on the West Coast.
Well, what's going on here with President Trump, and especially, like we've been talking, everything is about reindustrializing America and helping us out in that respect, we may not be sending that coke overseas for much longer. You never know.
I certainly hope so. Can I kind of switch the tone a little bit?
Sure.
I know it's not Thursday, but I do have a conspiracy theory.
Why not?
Thursday for you.
Why not? Go ahead.
Okay. So who have we not seen lately? We've not seen Mr. Biden. So I have a feeling that the Democrats are going to eat their own here, and they're going to go after Joe Biden and force him out so that way Kamala Harris can say, well, I got to be the first woman president. Why not?
All right, kind of a Stacey Abrams, you know, second place prize, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, second place, first place loser, in other words, right?
So we'll give you a trophy for 2 months.
Okay, could be. We'll see. I wouldn't put it past him. 5 minutes after 8, let me grab a couple more before Town Hall News. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill, this is Todd. About that proposition in California that would have recriminalized a lot of things.
Yes.
That was Prop 36. Gavin Newsom was absolutely against it. It was 10 times worse than Measure 110 up here. Not only did it, you know, decriminalize a lot of drugs, but also a lot of felonies down to misdemeanors, misdemeanors down to infractions. That's what, you know, created the whole smash and grab culture down in California.
Yes.
Exponentially. He was against it. Oh, and they did the same thing down there that they did up here. Oh, we're,
oh, by the way, I know they got rid of Gascon, George Gascon. You know,
oh, you stole my thunder.
Oh.
They got rid of Gas. They got rid. Well, first, so the Democrats were all against Prop 36. It went down 70% to 30%. So even Californians can sometimes wake up from their sleep.
Okay, now I want to be clear. You said it went down. Did Measure 36 or did Proposition 36 decriminalize or recriminalize?
It recriminalized and it won.
Oh, good.
Overwhelmingly.
Okay.
So we're going back to the way it used to be where crime was illegal. And like you said, George Gascon, who got $1.5 million from George Soros and a $1 million from Steve Jobs' widow, he went down in flames too. And that's really significant because he oversees 11 million people in Los Angeles County. That's almost three times the population of Oregon. Also, up in Alameda County, another radical leftist, Pamela Price, the DA up there, is as bad as Gascon. She was recalled too.
Good.
So, some wonderful things are happening down there, and I'm just so grateful for what happened last night.
So we're looking right now, Todd, at like Ed was talking about, my friend Ed saying, like, this is a healing process right now. We've gone so far off the rails here, and that America may be in a self-correcting mode at this point to save ourselves. I hope that's the case. That's positive. It really is.
And also about the gentleman who called up about the refinery in California. They used to have 13. Now they're down to 8. And the one he mentioned was a Phillips 66 that had been in production for over 100 years. If California Air Resource Board is basically turning the screws on all of them, and they expect in the near future, they already charge about $1 more per gallon in California, another 60-cent boost in the price of gasoline. So you want to talk about something that can crush the agricultural business and every kind of shipping business. So I'm just looking forward to Trump getting in there, because remember, also Newsom tried to do a California-specific diesel train emissions thing that would have just upset the entire system. So you would have to have a different train as soon as you hit the California border. So you know that the new president, Trump, is going to go in there and fight that tooth and nail. So thank God.
What needs to happen at the federal level is that they need to yank the chain and yank the ability of California to dictate the emissions of all 50 states, because they have an exemption right now and they use it quite frequently to screw with the rest of us. Because hey, if you're gonna bring your truck, you're gonna bring your train here, you're gonna have to do it our way. Baloney. All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks for that. And I will grab one more call. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill. It's Steve in Medford.
Steve, what are you thinking today, huh?
Well, I have a fault, I guess. I have a Boolean brain, and I think of, you know, if, then, and, you know, how things have to work. And this may be a very interesting time, because the state of Oregon exists on 36% federal funds to fund the budget.
You're right.
Oregon.
You're absolutely right. Most of the money, or a good portion of the money in Oregon, is transferred from GovFed.
And a lot of this is under this Medicare Advantage plan thing, where they're trying to get as many people on Medicaid as possible. Well, it might be, and it probably will be, that the federal government is now going to try to rein in the budget, which means that the Democrats all over the West Coast and the East Coast are going to be thrown some pretty sour grapes because they're going to lose a lot of that federal funding. And so think twice about joining a Medicare Advantage plan because they're highly subsidized. And, you know, that's going to put so much pressure on the Democrat.
You're absolutely right about that. Here's the issue, though. I'm not convinced they're going to be able to rein the government in as much as we are promising or liking right now, because I'm talking about the inertia of that. But you could be right about it. All right. You could be right. 7705. Actually, hold the calls for right now. We'll go back to the 7705633 here. It's another call I would like you to remember, though, and that's 261-5444. That's the number for Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. And, of course, Sky Park being an independent insurance agency, he's out there trying to save you money from the massive inflation, which is still bubbling through, especially the insurance renewal world. But another number, this is kind of going to what Steve was talking about, and that's Lynn Barton. Lynn Barton is working the Medicare side of things. That is open right now over at Sky Park. And you can call her. And if you have some questions about whether an Advantage plan is good for you or some other direction, call her at Sky Park Insurance. 541-499-0958. Again, 499-0958. Lynn, good people. Sky Park, great place. Independent insurance agency helping you save money, and see if they can do work for you. And Steve's number, once again, 261-5444.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Welcome to Dustin Curbs Parking.
Here, KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River. In South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
I love that theme for Kevin Starrett. Kevin Starrett, Oregon Firearms Federation. Great to have you back here, Kevin. Any surprises last night in your view of the state legislation, especially the state legislature? Anything there?
Only surprise for me was that the people of Portland didn't overwhelmingly pass ranked choice voting again.
Right there with you. Right there with you. Occasionally, even the dumbest voter is able to see through a fraud presented to them. Fair enough.
I mean, it's a hideously bad idea. And that's why I assumed it would pass.
So many bad ideas pass here when they're turned over to the voters, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, invariably, you know, we're like, okay, like, let's hand out drugs on the street. Yeah, that wasn't such a good idea. Let's make sure that the minority in the legislature is crushed. That really wasn't such a good idea. You know, let's ban the future sale of firearms. That wasn't such a good idea. So this is an anomaly to me. I have to say that did surprise me.
All right. Interesting, though, that with the Trump election here, this is going to put some crimps in the left's attempt, though, to take over the Supreme Court or pack the Supreme Court and maybe even screw with the Ninth Circuit and various other things. Right. Isn't this helpful in many ways?
Well, I think it is. I hope so. And, you know, there have been our federal case against Measure 114, of course, has been kind of languishing at the Ninth Circuit because there's other firearms related cases that they haven't decided. And their position is, well, we got to decide those first, even though they're not really that closely related.
Yeah.
But my position has been that they've been dragging their feet on these cases, which are pretty clear cut. And, you know, these cases have bounced back and forth between the Ninth Circuit, up to the Supreme Court, back down to the Ninth Circuit, the whole Ninth Circuit and individual judges. And the Ninth Circuit as a collection is dead set on eliminating gun rights. And no matter how many times they fail, they come back and try and do it again. So my feeling is that they've been sitting on these gun cases in the hopes that the Democrats could fix another election, and that whoever got in, whoever the insiders picked to be the Democratic nominee, would stack the Supreme Court. And now that does not look like it's going to happen anytime soon. Now, that is not to say that Trump's picks of judges have always been that stellar, because frankly, they've been a little erratic. In fact, the judge in our federal case in Portland, who basically said, yeah, the Second Amendment doesn't matter and the Supreme Court's dictates on these issues, we're going to throw that out the window, she was a Trump appointee. So there's certainly no guarantee. And someone like Amy Cohen Barrett has been very, very erratic. And
yes.
Hard to figure out what she's going to do.
Yeah, kind of a judicial bisexual in some ways, you know.
Well, cross-dresser or something.
Yeah, exactly, you know, exactly.
It's certainly no absolute guarantee, but it is clearly superior to the alternative. And what else happens in this issue? I'm a lot more hopeful than I was 24 hours ago.
Yeah. Were you surprised it actually went the way it did? Because everybody else, so many other people I knew were really depressed yesterday and were really nervous about it. And I was just kind of in zen, and I was just joking with people thinking, okay, well, maybe I'm just like a typical Republican about to get clubbed like a baby seal, you know, which always seems to happen. But I'm really happy. Oh, hi, Mr. Eskimo. Poof. As I, you know, get bludgeoned, you know, that kind of thing.
But I will tell you, I would use the term that I purloined from somebody recently. I was nauseously optimistic, but I was.
I love that. Nauseously optimistic. I love it.
You know, I just didn't know. You know, early on, Trump clearly had a pretty good lead in Electoral College votes. Yeah. And so that was looking good. But then that started tightening. And of course, all you know are the numbers that you're getting off the cartel media. And there's a million different things that can happen and change. You know, I just had a conversation with my wife who said, well, you know, because your previous caller or one of your previous callers suggested that Harris gets put in as president.
Right.
And my wife was like, oh, I told you that was going to happen. And you know what? That's not at all far-fetched.
No. Just so she gets a brownie point or a booby prize or whatever you want to call it.
No. The spook state doesn't care about that. What the spook state cares about is the damage she could do. So as president, what is she capable of doing? And I don't know. It's incalculable. You know, they're not going to give this up. There's no way they're going to accept this without some kind of extreme violence.
What about this? And now we're engaging in whataboutism, which always happens, of course, after elections, you know, that kind of thing. What about the pardon power, who she might wish to pay off?
Exactly. This is the other thing, is that Biden said, I will not pardon Hunter. But Harris didn't say that.
That's right. Amendment 25, Joe, and then Joe keeps his promises, and then Kamala pardons Hunter. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, there's no way that Biden agreed to be kicked out the door without a promise that Hunter would be pardoned, because Hunter has the ability to take down the whole family. Hunter knows every dirty deal, every payoff that Joe Biden got. So it's impossible that he agreed to this coup without a promise that Hunter would skate. And that, see, I mean, Biden could still do it because he doesn't matter if he, you know, he lies, who cares? That's what they do all the time. But it would be almost a sure thing if they do put it. I mean, you know, let's say Joe falls down on the beach and bumps his head on a beach ball, and then they 25th Amendment him. Then Harris becomes president. And pardoning by Hunter is like the least that I worry about. I mean, he'll just go out and, you know, do more crack and pick up hookers. That's fine. But
he should just stay in his lane, right? That would be the hookers.
Yeah, basically, he'll just do what the Bidens do, you know? But of course, he'll be running out of money because I believe that the value of his paintings has been plummeting. But that's just a rumor.
All right. Kevin Starr at Oregon Firearms Federation. Hey, back on the Second Amendment thing, if you don't mind me asking, what could President Trump do? You know, to me, I think the most important thing besides staying alive over the next 90 days, because, you know, a lot of people have been talking about that, you know, his life very well could be, you know, in danger right now, you know, prior to the inauguration. He might want to go into Joe's basement or someplace like that. I don't know. But
Bill, his life is absolutely in danger. I mean,
yes.
That's not speculation.
No,
look,
I'm not speculating.
He's just been given the job. He's been handed the head of running a company with millions of employees, the most powerful of whom want him dead. Okay, the people who are in charge of protecting him answer to people who want him dead. So that is very, very real, and we know they're not going to accept this lying down. You know, the welfare warfare state is incredibly powerful, and while I'm thrilled.
Well, you'll be happy to know that the defense contractors are up today in the in market action, even though President Trump has talked about trying to have a peaceful transition and also to end wars, Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera. The market's saying otherwise, huh?
Well, you know, I have always invested heavily in people who make bombs because I'm anti-war, but I also understand that we'll never stop spending money on that stuff, and I hope I'm wrong about that. But, yeah. You know, even his floating the idea of bringing Pompeo back is a little scary. But look, let's face it.
Well, Pompeo was part of the problem really, when it comes to interventionism. We'll see. But seriously, though, besides staying alive and staying safe between now and inauguration time, can he clean house at ATF? Is that something which is appointed that he can do and actually get rid of anti-gun people at ATF?
Well, I mean, if you get rid of the heads, for sure. And the head of ATF now is a committed, radical anti-gunner. Mm-hmm. So, look, there's a lot of things that I think he can do. There's a lot of things he can't do without the approval of Congress, of course. Although that, you know, that's another thing. If it looks like that the Republicans are taking control of the Senate, the initial response is, oh, well, that's a positive thing. Except, you know, the Republicans have had control in the past and they do nothing. So if the Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham wing of the Republican Party retains the influence that it has, the Republican Congress will absolutely do not a damn thing. That's just the way they are, you know. But theoretically, there's a lot of things you can do. The problem is I think you used the word inertia before. You are up against a massive machine that is going to try to impede you in every single thing you do. So 4 years is not enough time to clean out that mess.
Yeah, the one advantage I think Trump has is that he knows what he didn't know back then, you know, in the first term. I mean, essentially, he got clubbed like a baby seal at times. When he
absolutely did. And the reality is whether he likes it or not, that spook state there is still there. Mm-hmm. And they still have the ability. I mean, he has to deal with them. It's, you know, you can fire a lot of people, but there's thousands of them. You know, there's literally thousands of people there. The one thing that he could do, and I hope he does do, I'm sure your listeners have heard all this nonsense about Agenda 2025 and mm-hmm. how it's all racist and we're going to lock up transgenders and all. And that's not what it was at all. Agenda 2025 was an effort on the part of the Heritage Foundation to vet potential candidates for roles in the next Trump administration. And if Trump is wise, he will take advantage of the work that they have done. They've, you know, collected thousands of resumes and vetted people to get real true believers in there and people who are, you know, the problem.
Well, people who are not going to go against him the moment he goes into office, you know, people trying to undermine him, which he was plagued with people like that.
You not only undermine him, but people who are determined to do horrible things to the country. Because, look, chaos is profitable no matter how successful Trump is. And, you know, you and I have both discussed many times all the things that we think he did, which were gigantic mistakes because, you know, he's still human and there will be more mistakes coming. But no matter how successful he is, no matter how much things improve, there are a lot of people who do not want an improvement. OK, if you profited off Measure 110 because your nonprofit got millions of dollars to supposedly care for drug addicts.
Hey, the last thing you want then is fentanyl kept off the streets through a tight border, right? Last thing you want.
You need drug addicts.
That's
right. If your business is war, you need war. And there are going to be a lot of people who do not want problems solved, that do not want a positive economy or good employment numbers or an end to racial strife. You know, poverty pimps and race hustlers make money off of racial strife. I mean, look at what the heads of BLM did. You know, they got millions of dollars and they bought mansions with it and screwed over all the people who sent the money, many of whom are large corporations who are trying to be, you know, DEI hustlers. So this is certainly positive developments on a national level. On a statewide level, nothing's changed. We still have the same spineless people in office.
And that's what I've been concerned about and trying to say, as happy as I am about the federal, we have to understand that even in spite of the Southern Oregon great conservatives getting elected in office in many cases, that's all wonderful. Overall, the state of Oregon has trained and will continue to train its political guns on us, we the people. Fair enough. I mean, that's really where we are still.
Oh, there's no question that the power structure in Oregon is determined to crush individual liberties. But what I would say is when you've got people like, okay, very, you know, the few people we supported, you know, Dwayne Yonker, Noah Robinson,
yep.
Diane Lithicum.
Good people.
Those are good people. Those people are going to be the target of the Republican establishment. There's no question that, you know, the Iversons, those people, they did everything they could to undermine them going in, and they'll do everything they can to keep them undermined. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in this Jeff Helfrich race, because he is ahead, but not by much. And so now you've got this weird dynamic where Drazen, of course, Christine Drazen is back. She was unopposed, so she won that seat. Her job is going to be right now is going to be to get rid of Helfrich. So she's in kind of a weird position.
No, wait a minute. You're telling me that Jingle Jeff Christmas sweater you bought for him last year is a collector's item now, possibly? Really?
He's a what?
Remember the Jingle Jeff?
But I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part.
Yeah, the Jingle Jeff Christmas sweaters that he was grifting on last Christmas. I thought maybe you had one of those. It's going to be a collector's item if she bounces him out, right?
Well, it's either going to be a collector's item or the value is going to drop. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I think it was always a collector's item. But look, she wants her seat. She wants her House leadership seat back, so
that's
she
right.
can continue to make deals with the Democrats that make her look like a fool and completely undermine the conservative agenda. But if Helfrich wins, then she's going to have to stick a knife in his back.
Mm.
If he loses, then they lose a Republican seat, which, you know, they don't want to lose Republican seats. Not that it matters, you know, it doesn't really change anything because they can't do anything anyway. But that's going to be an interesting thing to watch, because if he, you know, like I said, last night his opponent was a little bit ahead, and I thought, that's going to be interesting. That solves Christine the problem of having to actually
kill
him.
Yeah, kill him politically. Yeah.
Well, or remove his testicles. But now, if he does win, what does she do? I mean, she's still got to get rid of him somehow. She's got to undermine him, but she doesn't want him to lose. Or maybe she does want him to lose, because as I said, the numbers don't matter. But that's going to be absolutely fascinating to watch, as will be what happens in this next coming session with Kim Wallen.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about that, too, because she did the same thing that got Herman Bertschiger in all sorts of trouble. And Herman was doing it for an arguably noble purpose. You know, the endorsing of Betsy Johnson back then. Kim Wallen endorsing Tobias Reid. There's no other agenda other than, well, what's the payoff, Kim?
Right, exactly. And, you know, the chatter out there is, we'll get back at her. She won't be the House whip. Well, that's like saying you can no longer be a crossing guard at a retirement community. You know, I mean, like, who cares? That is not exactly retribution for stabbing your party in the back. But as you said, you know, Herman got censured. And while I would not have endorsed Betsy Johnson, his reasoning was sound. You know, I mean, he and I discussed that many times, and I wouldn't have endorsed any of the front runners, but his reasoning was not, you know, it wasn't an intention to undermine the party. It was, he really believed that she was the best shot that we had of having some normalcy. And like, I disagreed with him, but I thought that was a perfectly reasonable position to take. Wallen's position is inexcusable. You know, it's absolutely not. It's a disgraceful thing to do, especially considering, you know, who was running against them. And so will the Republican Party continue to give us people like this? And I, you know, maybe it's unfair to say the party, because the party does nothing, you know, but will the caucus continue? The caucus will continue to give us people like Wallen, continue to defend her treachery. And the party kind of has gone along for the ride, not locally, because, you know, locally, you know, you got great people in the local parties down there, but in the statewide party, that's just this kind of amorphous blob that sits around and really accomplishes nothing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Back on Wallen, though, I'm wondering if she's going to looking for some blue state cred, so that she can persuade people to vote for her, maybe against Jeff Golden. Maybe that's where she's wanting to turn her attention. So she's not going to be running as a state rep instead. Running against Golden for senator next time that comes
around. Well, you know, I don't know what motivated her to do this. I think it was disgraceful. But look, something motivated her, Bill. You know,
yeah.
it wasn't for the good of the order. You know, I mean, this guy who she endorsed is like hardcore left Marxist kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't think that Tobias Reid is going to be doing anything to get illegal aliens off the voters or try to make it easier to audit an election so you don't have to spend $1 million to hand examine every ballot before you can audit the election. I don't think that Tobias Reid is going to be involved in trying to do that stuff like Senator Linthicum was trying to do, running for that office.
No, and you know, and a Secretary of State has all these other, you know, powers around ballot measures and those kind of things. And I don't see anything positive in the way he's going to treat dangerous ballot measures. And so, you know, I don't know what Wallen was offered, but, you know, in that world, there's a very, very small number of people who do things because it's good for the state. There just aren't that many.
Now, I always appreciate your acumen and your take on it because you tend to watch the shadowy underbelly of the state legislature, which makes you so much fun to talk to, Kevin, and I thank you so much for that. All right? Be well.
Yeah, it's really shadowy. It's kind of soft white underbelly. You
okay,
know?
Soft white. Okay, soft white. Kind of like snaky, kind of a snaky skin
yeah.
sort of thing. All right.
Right.
Good to know. Kevin, thank you, my friend, and we'll have you back. All right, Kevin Starr at Oregon Firearms
thank
Federation.
You,
OregonFirearms.org. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. specializes in new construction and re-roofing with
Lumber, serving everyone on Crater Lake Highway.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Myers Show.
842, open for business now. Randall from Advanced Air. MyAdvancedAir.com. We always have you on it about once a month or so. Randall, welcome back.
Yeah,
good to have you on.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Boy, I don't know about you. You're a little blurry-eyed. I'm a little blurry-eyed this morning. I think I finally went to sleep maybe midnight, maybe 3 hours of sleep. That's about it.
You know, Bill, I've been a Trailblazers fan for the last couple of decades, and, man, I get tired of losing. And I felt like most of my picks won last night, so I'm just relishing in this moment.
That's good. Good to know that. Good to know that. By the way, Advanced Air is 772-6866, your friend in the HVAC world here. And are we officially switched over then to the heating season now? What do you think?
Yeah, you better believe it.
Good.
We're running a lot of maintenance right now, heating on the heating side. We are getting some demand service calls for no heat. If you haven't started up your furnace or heat pump yet on the heating side, please do so. Make sure it's working because it's only going to get colder over the next several weeks, and it's better to have it maintenanced or serviced before the extreme weather comes.
Now,
because then all of the HVAC contractors are really busy.
Now, it's a good idea to get your Comfort Club membership here. So that way, if you ever do have a problem in which you turn on the HVAC and the compressor explodes in sadness, you know, in the backyard, you know, that kind of thing, you at least have priority service capability,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we leave a few spots a day open for our Comfort Club members. And if there's extreme weather and systems go down, they get preferential servicing.
All right. Let's talk about the money, the good deals that are coming in right now. Because even at this point in time, possibility of getting some Bryant equipment on a big rebate through Advanced Air?
Yes, absolutely. We have an in-house rebate for Bryant residential mini-split and crossover systems. So those are systems where you have like a high wall mounted air handler, or you have a crossover system that's a conventional air handler that's attached to an outdoor mini-split unit. So there's some new technology in the heating and cooling industry, and we're promoting some of those new products. Manufacturers are excited to get those out. They're very efficient. They're quiet. They're pretty invasive regarding, you know, retrofitting and whatnot. So they're a great option for a lot of applications.
So you were talking about it being quieter. Is it? Are we getting past the world of the big super clack and buzz of the turn on of an HVAC unit? There are they getting better that way? Because you know that's the way mine is. I have an older unit, of course, still at this point. Clack, bah, you know, as the things spool up.
That's actually a great point because I got two things. Yeah, the newer equipment is much quieter, and that's because it's modulating or even multi-stage, and so it's ramping up and ramping down rather than turning on at 100% capacity. And so, yeah, the newer equipment is much quieter. But that being said, also, there are aftermarket accessories, soft starts that we can put on equipment to modulate that startup for it. And that can bring that noise, dampen that noise down quite a bit.
That's interesting. That doesn't hurt the equipment to do a soft start thing on them?
No, no, it doesn't. And that can be added, you know, aftermarket on a maintenance visit or on a repair visit. So ask your service technician about that.
The other thing I have to remind people of, and you've mentioned this before, is the grid is not getting any more reliable, although Pacific Power is turning off the extra sensitivity from the fire season, you know, that was plaguing Talent and various other South County places for a while. But having surge protectors installed on your system, especially with all the chaotic of the solar and the wind and the up and down and all the noise on the lines, wouldn't be a bad idea, would it?
Yes, super good idea. We encourage all of our new installs to put surge protectors on their equipment. It's a small investment that can save you the cost of your entire system. And anymore, all of this communicative assist equipment has more electrical components than ever. You know, it's less mechanical than it used to be, and it's more electronic. And so when you have variations in power, it can be very damaging and very costly to repair.
All right. So something else to talk about at Advanced Air, 772-6866. Now, besides the $1,000 in-house rebate on qualifying Bryant equipment, you also have some financing available for stuff that doesn't necessarily qualify for a rebate. And having inexpensive money can also almost be just as valuable, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some great interest deferred, you know, 0% for the first 12 months, first 18 months programs right now that are great if you're needing to replace your system, but definitely don't have the cash flow right now. Ask about that. We can provide that. And then also there are some other rebates that are available through the Energy Trust of Oregon. And some other affiliates, and a lot of times these rebates can be stacked, meaning if you qualify, you can save, you know, several thousand dollars. Some of them are income based, some of them are predicated on what you're replacing. You know, like if you're replacing baseboard heat or electric resistant heat, things like that. There's some good programs that can help offset that initial expense.
All right,
and those are funded by the utility companies trying to encourage people to switch their fuel source.
All right, good point on that. So that's available to call 772. Let me get the number here. I talk about it all the time here. 772-6866. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Randall, before we take off, since we're going to have a changing of the administration, you've taken a lot of our conversations and specified how so much of what's going on in HVAC and heating and the appliances involved is all about dancing to the tune of the regulations coming down, especially from the federal government. With a new administration, is there any possibility of a lightening, maybe the boot comes off of you folks in HVAC,
right?
Because everything's about making it more expensive. We're going to change out the you know, the refrigerants and make all your stuff obsolete, et cetera, et cetera. What do you know? What can you tell us, do you think?
Well, I know that the refrigerant changeover is a multi-year plan that is pretty far in motion. And I you know, it's layered with bureaucracy, and I doubt that that's going to unwind at all. It's all established and governed by the EPA. So that's in motion, and you know, you got manufacturers that are creating, you know, all new equipment lines right now that are coming out here at the beginning of the year. It'll be really interesting to see, though, how this administration moves on embargoes. And, you know, in our industry, we use a lot of metals, a lot of copper, a lot of aluminum, a lot of steel, and along with chemicals, with refrigerant and others. And so it'll be interesting to see how that affects, our market. I'm hoping that there's some reprieve and at least some stability in the pricing of HVAC equipment. I think there should be. I think the biggest move that this administration can make and likely will make is making energy more affordable domestically. And that should have an effect on our utility bills, on our fuel bills, on everything. And that should also hopefully spur more development and empower, you know, the consumer to have more dollars, hopefully.
Yeah, making life affordable. Affordable again, you know, hey, it would be a pretty good thing. I guess, though, maybe with changes at the EPA, if they stanch the bleeding and keep the regulatory tumult to a minimum, because there's been so much drama and there's been so much insecurity in this world. Manufacturers don't even know, you know, what they can build, you know, sometimes, and trying to plan. You plan this stuff years out in advance, don't you?
Well, yeah, and you think about, like, the Paris Accord and some of these other, programs that the Trump administration has not viewed favorably and has withdrawn from in the past. And I'll be curious to see if he takes that same stance as we head into this next 4 years, because ultimately, you know, that could have an impact on some of this, because, you know, this industry is global, and, you know, the manufacturing and whatnot, the supply chain of it, it's global, like are most things anymore. So withdrawal from some of those treaties and some of those pacts, that may affect, you know, domestic production and innovation, and maybe relax some of the codes, but we'll see.
All right. I'm hoping you're right about that. Randall at Advanced Air. Advanced Air, of course, your friend in this business. Call 772-6866, 772-6866. Ask about the rebates and the various other good deals that we have just been mentioning on Open for Business. And, of course, myadvancedair.com. Get your heat pump turned on. Check it all out, right? Yeah, do that right now.
Right.
Make it
That's
happen
right.
Before it gets really cold. Although, I had ice on the windshield this morning, believe it or not. So I think we're already there.
Yep.
We are. Randall, thanks so much for the call, as always. Be well.
Thank you, Bill.
853, and this is KMED. You're on the Bill Meyer Show.
Ready to sip your way into fall bliss? Come indulge at Artisan Bakery Cafe.
After planting care.
Talk to the Rogue Gardener Saturdays 10 to noon. Hear the Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
Boy, busy, busy morning. Lots of calls, and we got about 3 minutes, maybe squeeze a couple more in before then. 770-5633. It's been a good morning, though. Thank you for your opinion. Brad's here. Hey, Brad, you wanted to weigh in on Phoenix. I was concerned. Terry Baker out as mayor there. I'm concerned about what's going on here with the progressive cancer continuing to inch up the I-5 corridor. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah. So, Bill, you know, Terry's a friend of mine and a great guy. The thing to learn here is you have to go back to 2020 and 2022. So Phoenix is one of those towns where they make the mayor run every 2 years. Mm-hmm. A lot of them it's 4 years, but they make the mayor run every 2 years. So you got a town with about 4,500 people in it. But if you go back to 2020, when Terry defeated Chris Luz to become mayor, he's north of a 1,000 votes. He got almost 1,270 votes back in 2020. Then in 2022, he got 1,264 votes. And then so far, the unofficial number is that he's only getting 892 votes against Al Mohoffer's 1,033. The interesting thing about Al Mohoffer is that Al used to serve on Phoenix Council. When he ran for city council, he got north of 1,000 votes, which is about what he got this time running for mayor. And then he also recruited three other people to run with him on a progressive slate, all of which look like they're succeeding, and all of them are within 125 votes of each other. So what you have is you've got about, we'll just call it about an 1,100-vote block in Phoenix that showed up and voted. And just looking at the numbers, Bill, what we see is that the people that wanted to support Terry's leadership just didn't show up. He got more votes in 2020 and 22 than he did this time by about 300 votes or so. So this is just, sadly, this is just a situation where the people that had supported him in 2020 and 2022 just didn't show up in 2024.
But you know what I'm concerned about, too? And this is where I have an issue with all of our cities, especially our smaller cities, rolling out. Now, of course, you were there with the Builders Association. You know all about this kind of stuff. Everybody going with affordable housing, affordable housing, affordable housing. And could this be the downside of it, in which you are essentially importing progressives?
I don't, again, just looking at the numbers, I don't think that's what this is.
Because I would dare say that that Phoenix is a very different city population-wise as pre-Almeda. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, all we can look at is the numbers. We don't know who those numbers represent, which is kind of what you're getting at.
Yes.
So we don't know if you break down that 1,100 votes or 1,200 votes, who, you know, what kind of human beings do we have actually behind those numbers? And we have no way of knowing what that is.
Okay. Well, my concern is, I'm just going to leave it at this because I'm almost out of time. I'm turning into a pumpkin. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the more that progressives shoehorn the affordable housing, which means government housing in one form or another, is subsidized.
Right.
There is a certain demographic of individual that will tend to support progressives that comes with that. Okay?
That's correct. And you really see that in the upper Willamette Valley.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Brad. We'll talk again tomorrow on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Email Bill at BillMyerShow.com.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of